Good morning. This is Steve Taylor, and I'm thankful for you joining me as I sit here at my dining room table that we might be able to have the opportunity to share God's Word one with another. I pray that the Lord will add His blessings as we look at His Word, and that He will bless us to grow in our faith, grow in His grace, grow in knowledge and an understanding of who He is and all that He's capable of doing. And I say that, and I understand that there's no way that we as mortal human beings can come to an understanding, a complete understanding of all that God is able to do, far above anything that we're able even to imagine. So many things that I think about that I don't understand, but I'm thankful for the truth of it, and that is that every single molecule, every atom in this universe is held together by the power of our God. The Lord God Almighty holds this universe and keeps it in perfect order constantly. He's greater than this universe. He had a definite plan when He first began creation. Even before the moment that He said, "Let there be light," He knew what the outcome was going to be. He knew what He was going to do, and He knew how He was going to do it. And there has never been anything that has caught Him off guard. There's never been anything that has caught Him by surprise. There's never been anything that He had to back up and say, "Wait a minute, maybe I need to do this a different way." No, our God is the God of perfection and the God of order. And if there's any chaos or any confusion, we can understand and know that it's not of God. Rather, it's from our own inabilities. So, with all of those things that I've kind of been rambling on about here in these first couple of moments, I have a very distinct message on my heart that I want to share with you. And if I had a title for this study that we have with one another, it would be that God will give us an expected end. I am so thankful for that understanding. I'm so thankful for that knowledge. I'm so thankful that it is the absolute truth. I invite you, if you have your Bibles close to you, and I trust that you do, I invite you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah, chapter 29. And as you're turning to that, let me give you a little background information concerning what Jeremiah recorded in these verses that we're going to read. God has prophesied. He did it through Isaiah, did it through Jeremiah, did it through Ezekiel. But He prophesied that because of the disbelief, lack of trust, disobedience of God's people, that He was going to allow them to be taken captive by the nation of Babylon. He was going to allow King Nebuchadnezzar to send his army into Jerusalem, tear down the city, tear down the walls, tear down the temple, and carry the people back into captivity because of their disobedience to Him. Now, I realize it's kind of getting off to a little negative start there, but God's going to bring something very positive out of this. He says, "I'm going to let them carry you away. And while you're there, you just go ahead," and the first part of this 29th chapter, it says, "You go ahead and you build your houses and you marry wives. You have children. You conduct your life the best that you can." This is my own wording. "You conduct your life the best that you can in this time of captivity. Do what you have to do. Do what you need to do. Do what you're told to do in this time of captivity." But here comes the promise of hope. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting with verse 10, For thus saith the Lord. When it says, thus saith the Lord, you know that it's going to take place. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. After 70 years, there was a definite time period that God was going to allow them to remain in captivity. There was a definite period of time, 70 years, that they were to be in captivity. And I believe, my personal belief on this was that God allowed them to do that, to be taken into that captivity, in order that they would be brought to a place of greater appreciation of who God is and what God is capable of doing. They'd forgotten that. They'd gone away from that. They'd gone into idolatry. They had not followed the law that God had given to them, the commandments that God had given to them, that it might be well with them. They'd forsaken those things. So God's going to allow them to be taken captivity, but it's going to be for a definite period of time, 70 years. And he says, I'm telling you now, even before it happens, that after 70 years, after a definite time frame, I will visit you. I will come to you in a manifest way. I will come to you in a way that you will know that only God is the deliverer. I will visit you, and I will perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. I'm going to bring you back, but you need to be brought down. You need to be humbled. You need to be brought to a place of understanding where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. You need to come back to that place, as the psalmist would say, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth and all that is in it. I will bring you back to this place. But you need to be taken to a place where that you realize the blessings of God. And then God makes a statement that I am so very thankful for. I have leaned upon this verse many times in my own life. And I commend this verse to you. He says, during this time of what I'm going to allow to take place, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, then, at that time, at that point, you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'll hear you and I'll listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. But they had to be brought to that place. They had to be brought to the place where that the only way that they could look was up. You know, that's that we hear that saying sometimes, but it was so true that God was going to take them to that place. The only way they could look up to the hills from whence cometh their help, to look to the Lord. You'll seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I'm going to bring you back after the allotted time. I'm going to bring you back to this place. This place where you were before you were taken captive. But when they came back, I assure you, they came back with a renewed sense of need and dependence and trust and confidence in the Lord. When we look at this passage of Scripture, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know what that verse tells me? The first thing is, I don't need to know every single detail. Now, I confess to you, I am a closet control freak. I want to think that I go with the flow, but I'm telling you, inside of me, there's something that says I want to be in control. I want to make the turns. I want to do all these things. But this passage of Scripture, the first thing that it tells me is I don't have to know everything that's going on. I don't have to know the end from the beginning. But what I do need is a complete trust and confidence in the Lord, and a confidence to know that He knows. Things really are not out of control, though they may seem out of control, out of my control. I lift up mine eyes to the one who is in absolute control. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. So as I look at this verse of Scripture, there's some questions that I have to confront. There's some questions that I need to come to an answer, to a solution in my own heart and mind. And that is, one is, am I comfortable with leaving things in the hands of the Lord? Am I comfortable with saying, Lord, the song that was popular, it's a country music song, it was popular a few years ago, I'm taking my hands off the wheel. I'm going to quit trying to steer my life and steer the direction I'm going. Am I comfortable with taking my hands off of the steering wheel and leaving things in the hands of the Lord? Am I confident in taking this verse at face value? That God knows the thoughts. God knows His plans for me. God knows His intentions for my life. God knows where He's taking me. God knows how I'm going to get there. God knows that He is the God of detail. He is the God that brings it all together. Am I confident in taking this verse at face value and having my trust, my faith, my hope based upon the fact that God knows the thoughts that He thinks toward me? And they are thoughts of peace. Though I may feel like I'm going through utter turmoil, though I may think that I'm going through conflict after conflict, all of these things are, when I can look back on them, I can see how that God has made me stronger through the conflict. God has made me stronger through the turmoil. He's made my faith to be more complete and more whole in Him. That He says, I know what I'm doing. I know how I'm doing it. I know where I'm doing it. I know where I'm taking you. I'm going to give you an expected end. I know the end. I've declared the end from the beginning. So am I confident in taking this verse at face value to say, Lord, I'm in your hands? Am I content to understand? Though I may say I'm in your hands, is there something still inside of me that's churning and burning and wanting to have control? Or am I content to understand that I don't even need to know the reason? As long as I know the one who does know. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. I know. What does He know? Well, He knows He's in control. He knows He has full power. He has full understanding. He knows what took us into the situation that we're in, whether it's something of our own doing or something that just happened to us, that we didn't bring on ourselves, but we found ourselves in the middle of a situation. God knows what took us there. He knows why He allowed us to get into that situation. And He's going to know what He's going to bring us out of that situation in a way in which that we can look back and say, He was with me all the way. The old song that we sing sometimes, each step I take, I know my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hands, He leads me all the way. I know, saith the Lord. So I myself want to come to a point of being content in that great truth, that God knows what He's doing, why He's doing it, and where the outcome will be. I know I'm going to give you an expected end. He knows what he's going to do as a result of that situation. He knows that we'll ultimately become stronger as a result of that if we keep our hearts, our minds, and our eyes upon him. Looking unto the Lord, lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Looking unto the Lord who made heaven and earth and all that is in it. The Word of God gives us an ultimate example of how this works. And that ultimate example is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Do you remember when he was on the cross? Let me back up. In John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Same was with God in the beginning, and there was nothing made that was made without him. And then down to verse 14 it says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about that. The Word, and we understand that Word is the very Son of God. The Word, capital W, the very Son of God was made flesh. We will never know until we reach heaven's glory how much of a step down that was. For Jesus to leave heaven, where he was constantly in the presence of the Father, to leave heaven where angels were constantly crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," to be worshipped and adored by the angels of heaven, by the saints of old that were there with him, that had gone on to be in his presence. But to lay aside those beautiful garments that he had with the Father, even from before the foundation of the world, but in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, Paul tells us in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Left that place where angels adored him to come to this place to walk among sinners, where sinners accused him. Sinners mocked him. Sinners despised him. Sinners rejected him. And he dwelt among us. And in spite of all that, we still beheld his glory. We read his teachings. We see the miracles that he performed. Strengthening lame legs, opening ears that could not hear, eyes that could not see, mouths that could not speak. We beheld his glory. We still can behold his glory as we read the Word of God. God sent his Son into this earth to dwell among such, trying to think of the word that would be proper for that, such a contradiction against himself. And he did it for a specific reason. God said, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you," even toward his own Son. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know why I'm allowing this to happen. I know why I'm sending you into this place that is filled with sinful creatures. I'm doing it to redeem them. To redeem them that are under the law. That you and I might receive the adoption of sons." God said, "I know why I'm sending you here." The angel said to Joseph as he spoke concerning the birth of Jesus, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know what the expected end is that I'm sending you for. And that is, I'm sending you to redeem. I'm sending you to save. I'm sending you to bring back my people unto myself. Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, Jesus being found in fashion as a man, the Word was made flesh. He humbled himself. And he became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. But hear his words as he hung on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if I understand that correctly, Jesus knew the reason. He wasn't questioning the Father because he didn't know why or how he wound up there on that cross. He knew when he left heaven that this would be the ultimate end on this earth. Not the ultimate end, the thoughts of peace. But he had to go through this rejection, had to go through this trial, had to go through this. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he ask that question? So that you and I would think upon that question. Why did the Father forsake his only begotten Son? Well, I can tell you, it was because in those hours, he who knew no sin, had done no sin, thought no sin, spoken no sin, acted upon any sinful action, nothing about him was contradictory to God, but in those hours, he was made to be sin for us. How was he made to be sin? I don't know the mechanics of it again, but in God's manner, he took my sin, your sin, the sin of all of his people from us and put that weight upon his only begotten Son. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that you and I would be made the righteousness of God. But in that dark hour, I believe it was the darkest hour that has ever been on the face of the earth. In that dark hour, when he asked the question, he still addressed it, my God, my God. He didn't say, oh God. He said, you're still my God. You're still my God. And before that he cried out, it is finished, we hear him saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, what does this all have to do with what I'm trying to say this morning? Though Jesus was 100% God in flesh, he was also man. And as he hung on the cross, he showed to us the ultimate example of what you and I are to do as we go through life and go through our trials and go through our struggles, go through our turmoil. And that is, we are to not turn away from the one who holds all hope for us. My God, my Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I trust you. I trust that expected end that you know that you're bringing about. As a result of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I know the thoughts that give you an expected end, and given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, everything in heaven and earth and under the earth shall declare his glory and his praise. God knew his thoughts for all this. Jesus finished, completed the work. Now, how does this apply to us? Paul tells us in the book of Romans that we are joint heirs with Christ. So therefore, we are able to participate to a certain degree, to participate in the things that belong to Christ. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, under the one who says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, to give you an expected end. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. So when I'm going through this, if I have complete confidence, if I have complete trust, if I am leaning completely upon my Lord, Peter says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. We're never to forget that. Lord God Almighty says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I'm going to bring you through this valley. I'm going to bring you back to that place of peace, that place of contentment. You will call upon me. You will seek me. And you will find me. And I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you back to this place of peace. I bring you back to the place of contentment and understanding. This morning, as we think on these things, I ask myself the question, do I trust him? Is my confidence placed in the Lord God Almighty who made heaven and earth? Even in the darkest hour, do I still call him my God and my Father? He's given that privilege to us. And I pray that in every situation, every circumstance, whether it be the lowest of the lows or the highest of the highs, that we'll never forget our dependence, our trust, our confidence only belongs in the Lord. May God bless you, is my prayer. May God bless each one of us to learn to lean completely upon the Lord, is my prayer. Thank you so much for your time.